Love paying shipping and delivery fees just to wait weeks for your package? We didn't think so. That's why Lowe's delivers fast and free. All MyLowe's rewards and MyLowe's Pro Rewards members enjoy free delivery and free same-day delivery on eligible orders. Yep, you heard right. Same day, too. That's just another way members get more at Lowe's. Same day applies to orders over $25. Subject to availability. Restrictions and terms at lowes.com/shipping terms.
Today on The Grave Talks, we continue our conversation with Sean Barry Farewell about his book, Fallen from the Light. Did that surprise you when you saw it?
It did, because I had no idea. Yeah. You got to remember, back in 88, you shuffle through your pictures, right? Kind of like, you know, when you're a kid with hockey cards or whatever, you know, got them, need them, got them. You're doing this in the schoolyard, right? Pictures were like that back then. You just kind of looked at them and then you put them in a photo album. And what do you do with the photo album? Put it in the closet.
Exactly. Or yeah. You just have a big tub of photos that are still sitting in your garage.
I still have the view.
Might be me.
So Carolyn, she basically said to me that there's something you need to do. So she didn't get a chance yet to start telling me it. She said, I'll talk to you tomorrow and we'll go over all the stuff and everything, because I was like curious. Then I get a strange message from an English lad, Bobby Lockwood. And just out of the blue, he calls me mate. He says, hey, mate. He says, this is going to sound really strange. And I'm thinking, strange? Yeah, try to live my life, pal. I'll tell you what strange is. So he said, the spirits in that house are communicating with him. And I'm like, okay, I'm intrigued. Let's talk. So we Skype. Now, Bobby's about 5-6 hours different from my timeline. But it was great because at the time he was working as a security guard in a car showroom. It was all locked up. So he had access to the computer and everything. You know, it's like 10, 11 o'clock my time. And we're going over all this stuff. It's kind of like Bobby, in a sense, was kind of like a spirit detective. Like,
oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
I know. It was kind of like you see those shows like the Cold Case Files. After 20 years, they find the person who committed the murder. And this is what it was like. The victims were talking to Bobby. And they were telling Bobby that they were strangled to death. And I was floored because Donna came right to my head 22 years later when she grabbed her throat like she was choking. And I'm like, I knew it. I knew she saw it. And he was telling me that he's not alone. He has help, his son. So him and his son basically were keeping those spirits, those victims of theirs, trapped in that house. And I try to explain to people that we live in the physical realm. And on the other side is the spiritual realm. But in the middle, it's called the in-between. It's where spirits get trapped and they're tormented by dark or demonic spirits. That's where they were trapped. And he wasn't going to let go of them, to the point where he was warning me to back off or else. And this started to escalate more and more. So Carolyn had a plan where we got to free them. And I wasn't quite sure, okay, Carolyn, what do I do? Do I drive from Toronto 6 hours to Montreal, open up the door and go, you're free, run, get out of
right.
here.
How does this work?
She's laughing. She's laughing at me like she's like, silly goose, no. I'm like, okay, I tried, you know. But she said, we have to do a ritual. And I'm thinking like, okay, we got to get some help too. Because Bobby brought in a young, very, very strong medium from Australia. Her name was Beck. And as a child, Beck could always see spirits. Her third eye never closed. Where most people, as we get older, we lose our innocence and our third eye closes. Beck, it didn't close. So 3 days before the battle, Bobby does a video of me. And I don't know if I sent it to you, but if not, I'll send it to you anyways. It's really creepy. And I'm in the basement meditating. And the whole screen gets distorted, but it's just spirit energy. I'm like engulfed all around me. but you could hear the dark spirit hissing and growling. He is angry because he knows that I'm not going to give up on this.
See, you did send that to me, and I looked at it first before I read the book and everything, and I'm like, what am I looking at? So as I was reading the book, then it made sense, and now it makes even more sense.
When spirit communicates through our technology, like speakers, it's chirping and hissing type sounds that comes out, because this would happen a lot when me and Carolyn would talk on Skype. They would just like, just going and going. And we had to tell them, guys, settle down. We're trying to talk here. We'll get to you. It was crazy. So there was the next night, 2 days now away from the fight. I'm on Skype with Beck. And Beck, we're just having this talk. And then she goes, like Beck would, she reacted in a strange way. She went, oh, like this. And I go, oh, what's wrong? She goes, I see three ladies sitting in the back of your room, of the basement. I go, what are they doing? She said, well, they're just sitting there like if they're having tea and listening to us. And she said, but they're dressed like back in the 19th century, the early. So like the long gowns and everything that they used to wear back in those days. And then we start talking again. And then she does that again. I go, what? She goes, oh, there's a little girl right beside you. I said, oh. And she said, she really likes you. She wants to be around you all the time. That was his daughter he murdered, the little girl that was beside me. She wanted me to protect her. And then Beck did that again. She went, ooh. I go, what now? She goes, they just vanished. I go, they just vanished? But she says, uh-oh. I go, what now? She says, there's a man walking around your basement like he's looking for something. It's him, the dark spirit. He's looking for those spirits because he doesn't want them around me. And he comes right up to me, and Beck is talking to him, and she's telling me what he's saying. And I said to him, back in the house, I said, in 1988, when I was sleeping, that was you on my bed. And he said, yes. And I said to him, you were trying to scare me off, weren't you? He goes, yes. And I said to him, it didn't work. And I'm coming for you, pal. I said, I'm going to free those spirits and you're done. And he left. He was angry. And then he just took off. And then at that point, he was going to gather up an army of dark spirits to take me on in a few days in the basement.
Me, myself, I don't think I would be equipped for anything like that.
You want to know something?
Did you feel like you were?
No.
Okay.
No. I had this impulse of doing the right thing, freeing those spirits so they can go home to be with their families. I had no idea that this spirit wanted to kill me in my physical body, take my soul, and keep me trapped, because that's basically his plan. And on the night that it happened, because we had it all planned out that we were going to do this on Saturday, 6 a.m. in the morning, because of Bobby's timeline, Beck's timeline.
Yeah, everybody's
like
time zones.
Yeah. Hours. Yeah. And Bobby's 5-6 hours. Carolyn is on Eastern Standard Time, so she's the same time as me. And it was Friday night, and Carolyn said, you need to go get prepared. You need candles. You need sage. Go to the store and get that. So my daughter at the time, Jamie, she was like, Dad, I want to do this with you. I want to help out. Like, she was all into this. I'm thinking like, oh, okay, let's go to the store and get all the stuff and come back. And I remember pulling into the driveway, and I started to get this tingle through my entire body where I almost broke down and basically just told my daughter all my sins, because it was just, I couldn't control what was happening to me. I was crying in the car. And she's like, Daddy, like, what's going on? I really felt like confessing everything to my daughter that I've done in my life. And I said to her, we need to go in. We need to call Carolyn. Something's wrong. And we went into the basement. Carolyn was on my speakerphone because it's Canada to the States, so we could have her on the speakerphone. We had video of Beck, who wants to help out, on Skype. And Bobby, my daughter, was typing and just through the keyboard to communicate with Bobby. Beck's telling me to just calm down and breathe. So I'm sitting in the chair, staring at my monitor, looking at Beck. I'm trying to breathe, but it's not working. I could hear Carolyn trying to tell Beck, because I have her on speakerphone. She could hear saying to Beck, because Carolyn knew what was going on, because Beck didn't have that type of experience that Carolyn had. And Carolyn saying, he's in trouble. And it got to the point where now I was paralyzed. Mm-hmm. I could not move. My brain was functioning, but I couldn't move. And I used every ounce of strength to turn my head to the right, to look at my daughter's face. And I could see my daughter's worried now. I even had saliva coming down my mouth because it felt like someone was strangling me. And it was the father and the son. I was being held down by 100 dark spirits, and they were strangling me. So if you were watching this in a movie, you would have a split screen. On one side of the screen, I'm in the basement, paralyzed. But in the other part of the screen, you see Carolyn, who astral projects from her body, goes right to the haunted house where my soul is sitting in a chair. She sees all the spirits on top of me, and she sees the father and the son strangling me. She's watching this. And then I remember saying to myself in the head, because I could hear Beck again saying, oh, don't worry, Sean, just breathe. And I said to myself, this doesn't feel right. And at that moment, something went in me so powerful. It gave me like Superman strength. And I stood up, like I threw them all off me. I looked at my daughter, and she swears to me. She said, Daddy, that wasn't your voice that came out of you. And what Carolyn was experiencing in the haunted house, she saw my soul grow 20 feet and throw them off me. Then the roof opens up, and here comes Archangel Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, Metatron, Uriel. They're all coming in. Carolyn said, oh my God, it was the greatest thing to see. And the dark spirits, bunch of cowards, Carolyn calls them turds, and they took off because they're cowards. But the father and the son were frozen. They couldn't move. And Michael walks up and he looks at the father with disgust, unfixable soul, hits his sword to the ground. It opens up and it swallows him. Mm-hmm. And he goes to a place, I call it like a detention center. He's going to go there for a long time to feel the energy that he created in such a bad way. Now he's going to feel that pain and suffering until he's ready for forgiveness. But the son had a chance because, see, he never wanted this life. His father taught him to do this. So he was attached to me, and my entire body was vibrating. I couldn't do anything. I felt like this electricity was affecting every cell in my body. So I started to reach out to him, and I told him that I loved him, which is something he never heard before. And I told him I forgive him, but you've got to ask for forgiveness. And this went on for about 10 minutes. And I was like, at the point, I was like, I didn't think I was going to hold on for any longer. I was using everything that I had. And then finally, the weirdest thing, it stopped. The vibration stopped. It was like it was a humming going through my body, and it was like silent. But I could hear Carolyn on the speakerphone crying. And she's telling me, she goes, Sean, the spirits are hugging him. They're forgiving him. And she said, Michael opened his wings and gathered them all, and straight off to heaven he took them. And I remember falling to my knees, and I started crying. And Carolyn goes, what's wrong? And I felt guilty because I should have helped them back then in 87 when I was in the house. But Carolyn goes, you didn't know what happened here. And then I felt like a punch in my gut. And it was the hand of God just ripping everything that was negative in my life. And he removed it. And I fell to the floor on my stomach. Jamie's lying there. We're facing each other. And she's like, I love you, Daddy. I go, I love you, Jamie. And then I start to feel that energy again. But it's on my cheeks. It's like electricity. I'm like, oh my God, Carolyn, they're back. Help, help. And she's laughing. She's like, oh, silly goose, don't worry about it. She goes, those are all the spirits. They came back to say thank you. And this went on for a half hour. It was like a lineup of spirits just touching my face, saying thank you. And I was just like, there was nothing left I can do but just enjoy this moment. And like, if there was anything in my life that I can think that I did something worthwhile, it was that night.
It's really interesting to me that it was 20 years later that you had this experience. But I do think on the other side, what is 20 years? Maybe you were always the one who was supposed to have this experience. Maybe you were supposed to be in that house, obviously. But when you were young, I think when you lived in that house, what, you were in your early 20s?
23.
You weren't equipped. you wouldn't have been equipped to deal with it. You wouldn't have had access to the people you needed.
I was going through experiences, small experiences, but I said that was the universe preparing me for what was about to come. But it doesn't even end there, because about a week later, I'm talking to Carolyn, and I'm looking through my screen here, because you get that little square where you could see you. And I'm like, Carolyn, do you see that behind me? And she's giggling. And you could see purple, blue energy just moving, shifting. And I'm like, what is that? And she says, that's a gateway. I went, a gateway? She goes, yeah, a portal. I'm like, uh-oh, is that bad? She goes, not this one. She says, you also have a gatekeeper. His name is Simon. He's been assigned to allow the flow of spirits in and out of your basement. So on an average night, I would have 70 to 100 spirits visiting me every night in my basement. People were dancing, celebrating. Kids were running around. There were animals. It was incredible. Carolyn was in awe because she was communicating with the spirits, helping me understand what it is that I was supposed to learn. And I'm thinking, how am I supposed to share this? People are literally going to throw me in the loony bin, because who's going to believe this? But I had people because it was there for 6 months. People would Skype me around the world just to see it. And they were just blown away because they could actually see it. And, you know, people were like going, where'd that come from?
Yeah.
And I said, well, it's a gift. And they're like, can I get one? I said, well, I don't know.
I'm not totally sure how I got mine.
You might have to fill out an application or something, maybe.
Did you feel the spirits around you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It gets even better, too, because I had to put my foot down because they started coming to my bedroom at night while I was sleeping. So I'll give you an example. So one night, I'm giggling. I'm sort of half asleep, but I'm giggling because I think my wife wants to get frisky. And someone's kissing me on the lips. So I open my eyes to expect to see my wife kissing me on the lips, but there's nobody there. And I turn over and she's sound asleep. And I'm looking around the room going, okay, what's going on here? And then Carolyn told me one of the ladies that I freed fell in love with me.
Oh, that's interesting. Said, yeah.
I know. I'm thinking like, oh, okay, a little spirit love. There's nothing wrong with that. So she said, you got to put your foot down and say, no, listen, I'm married and we can't do this. So I put my foot down and told her, okay, stop. And then one night we had our dog, Sam, and you saw him in the video, the black dog that falls at my feet on that video, the freaky video. Mm-hmm. Sam, he's downstairs. We had a gate because he sheds a lot of hair. So we figure he's got his crate. We always left the door open. He could just sleep in his crate and it's easier to maintain the hair. I could hear him whining and crying, trying to bust through the gate. And my wife could hear this and she's like, what is wrong with him? And then I could hear the gate. He collapsed it. I could hear him running up the stairs, runs into the bedroom, and he's running around the bed and he's staring at the ceiling. And I look up. It's a little shadow spirit. He's playing chase at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, okay. I look at my wife. I go, she goes, what's going on? I go, I'll just go back to sleep, honey. I'll take care of this. Oh, yeah. There was so much stuff. But what really, really stood out back then when I got better after the cancer, I went and got tested to see if we could have children. And I went 3 times. In 2 years, I had 0 sperm count. I will never have children. This is what they told me. You'll never have children. And Sandra got pregnant. And we're like, oh, my God, we're having a baby. This is a miracle. And then she miscarried. And we thought, oh, my God. Like it's
heartbreaking.
It was, yeah. Oh. And we thought this was our only chance that we're going to have our own children. Well, my daughter was born in 97. And then my son in 2000. It was like, wow, like. Even the hospital's looking at me going like, who is this guy? You know, I met a medium in mid 2000 and she's doing a reading. She says, yeah, you have 3 children. I said, no, I don't. I have 2. She goes, no, you have 3. So I thought maybe she was full of it. Well, I happen to have a daughter that was the one that was miscarried. And her name was Maggie. And she was visiting me in the basement. Carolyn was talking to her. And I talked to Maggie and I said, Maggie, come to me tonight in my dreams and come see me. That night, I woke up and I'm sort of, you know, when you're sort of waking up, you're sort of half asleep, but asleep, you're sort of in that mid trance. And I could see this little girl at the edge of my bed, and she looks like my wife, actually, the blonde hair, everything. And I smile at her and I said, I love you, Maggie. And she just looked at me. She goes, I love you, Daddy.
Oh.
And I leaned back down. And the thing was, my wife was awake watching what I was doing. Because I tried to explain to her what was happening and that we have another daughter and everything. And she didn't want to believe this. And I was in the basement talking to Carolyn, and she came down one day. We're trying to tell her, Maggie's right here. And she's just given that look and everything. I said, okay, you know what? Just for the sake of an argument, just say hi to Maggie. So she makes this face and she's like, hi, Maggie. And you hear this little girl go, hi, mommy. And her face just went, whoa. And I was like, well, I'm trying to tell you. She had a difficult time with all the spirits and everything because there was also darkness. Darkness did not like what I was doing because I'm going to help a lot of people and lead them back to the light. Because Carol and I, we were pulling souls back out where they were stuck, helping them, guiding them back to the light. Like that song from Coldplay, Fix You. It's like, we're going to fix you. We're going to help you. We're going to guide you back to the light. We were doing it. We were doing beautiful things in the basement. And one night I'm talking to Carolyn and everything goes silent. I'm like, hello, Carolyn. And this person starts talking to me in a language I couldn't even understand. I even know where this language came from. And I'm trying to interrupt this person, but it's not working. They're just going on with what they have to say. So I'm waiting and waiting. And I'm thinking like, okay, I'm like, Carolyn, are you around? Or like, who's this person that just cut through this frequency on Skype? And it got silent again. And then I'm like, hello. And I hear this woman go, hello. And it wasn't Carolyn because Carolyn has a Southern accent. So I knew this wasn't Carolyn. And I'm like, who are you? And she said, hello, Sean Barry, I'm Gloria. And I was like, what? And then she started to tell me things because when an angel has a message from God, you can't interrupt them. They have to tell the message in their angel language. This is something Carolyn told me afterwards. But she started to talk to me in my language so I can understand what she was trying to say. She was telling me about your father's going to give you these keys that are going to open these doors. There's going to be all these file cabinets and everything. There's going to be books and messages and things you've got to learn. And then as she was about to leave, she said one last thing, and she gave me a warning. She said, beware, the beast is near. A week later, he showed up in my basement pretending to be Jesus. It was Lucifer. And I'm talking to him, asking him questions. And I don't understand this because if you're Jesus, how could you not tell me? He was putting things off saying, I will tell you later. I will tell you later. And Carolyn was telling me, this is what they're doing. They're trying to trick you. See, Archangel Michael was beside me when Lucifer was there. So he can't touch me. He can't hurt me because God could just snap his finger and you're gone. That's how powerful our Heavenly Father is, but he's not that kind of Heavenly Father. He's one about love and forgiveness. And these were things that I would share and help people with because a lot of us do get hurt in life. And then what happened was I had a feeling there was another dark presence in my basement, and I was right. I took the chair and I was sitting in where the gateway was, and I went into a meditated state. And I opened my eyes and there's this woman standing right in front of me, about 10 feet. And she was dressed in this black gown, like back in the early 1900s. And she was breathing real heavy and her face was distorted. And she's like, you. That's her voice that came out of her. And I'm thinking like, oh boy. And she goes, I'm going to kill you. And she comes charging at me. And I remember lifting up and putting my fist out. And I screamed like, no. And I felt her go right through me. And she was gone. And I remember looking around the room. Later on, when I talked to Carolyn, she said that woman was called the Black Widow. And back then, she would get married to wealthy men, poison them for their money. And she murdered so many men until she died. And her soul went to that dark place. And she works for Lucifer. So she was there to try and stop me. And in a sense, my marriage came to an end. Mm. Because of all this activity that was happening, my wife couldn't handle this. And I don't blame her. I wanted her to grow at the same frequency as I was growing. But she couldn't. And I truly believe to this day that she was being controlled by this dark source. And they figured if my marriage came to an end, then I would just give up everything. And I almost ended my life. I was in so much pain. I went to bed and I dreamt and it was painful. I would wake up and it was painful. I wasn't getting any peace at all. And one night in the basement, I filled up the tub. I took a knife out, put my hands in there, and I was going to end my life. I was crying. And then I realized I can't do this. My kids are going to find me dead in the basement. And then the dark side is going to win. So I made the sacrifice to move out because the marriage was over. I had to close the gateway down, but it didn't stop. It followed me. My children moved in with me. A year later, my daughter went back, but my son stayed with me until he was 18. He went off to university. But I was still continually having nonstop battles with good spirits and bad spirits. It was a nonstop thing, the learning and the teaching. This is why my book took as long as it did, because it just wasn't ready. There was so much stuff to share. I have a friend, she wants me to write a sequel, but the 6 months that I spend working with the gateway and what really was going on, because she asked me if I put that in this book, and I said, are you crazy? People would think I was a lunatic. I said, let them first get used to this book, and maybe I'll consider doing that. She said, you should. People need to know what was showing up every night in your basement.
Because the story's not over. You know, as long as you're on this earth breathing, I don't think the story is over. And even beyond that, you know.
My vision with the book, and I always tell people this, I would love to put this in a 10-part series, either on Amazon or Netflix or whatever, because with the CGI, you're going to see what I was going through. And then you're going to understand, oh boy.
Do you ever think, why me? Like, there's so many people on this planet. Why are you using me for this? Or do you accept it more as kind of why you're here?
For a long time, you know, especially through the really hardest parts of my life, I was thinking, like, God, why is this happening? Like, I thought I was supposed to learn some really nice stuff, you know, like angels, harps, you know, birds singing and stuff like that, you know, like, you know.
Right.
But instead, I'm battling dark spirits. Demons are showing up. Lucifer decides to pay me a payment, you know, just to show up and you know, say, hey, how you doing? Okay, Lucifer, I'm not interested. Thank you. Goodbye. I thought about this all the time. You know, some people just have certain experiences. Maybe it's one or two experiences. This has been going through my entire life. And you're right. It's not over, because I still get visited by spirits. A lot of good now than bad. You know, once in a while they do try, but I kind of shoo them away. But the good ones are nice. There was a little girl that paid me a visit a while ago. And she was just skipping right by me, laughing and singing. And she was carrying behind her this rainbow color. It just followed her. And I knew it was really nice. And she's just smiling at me, you know, la, 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 la. I'm like, oh, hi, little girl. Just to tell me we're still here. And this is what they do. They will show up because they know that maybe, and this is, happens a lot. Some darker times are probably going to come to my life again. But they're just showing up to let you know, we're still here. Hang in there.
That's why I do think a second book would be interesting down the road to see where this goes.
My mind's already like racing. I did a show a while ago and people want me back on, and I threw an idea out. I said, well, we could talk about my creepy spiritual battles. And I had like five of them. I found pictures of sort of like would show the audience of this is what showed up in my room. There was a really, I mean, I could tell you a lot of them were way out there, but this one, I woke up and there was a woman literally floating over me. Her arms were spread out. It looked like light. Either she was blowing it out or sucking it in. And I looked to the floor and there were two people in chains. They were bound to her. And I knew right away, I go, oh, this is not good. I rebuked it and it disappeared. And that's the power of what God gives us, are these tools. And I've always told people, I said, Psalms 91. I was told by an angel to read Psalms 91 and 23 when demons show up or dark spirits. And when they do, I pull the book and I read it and they don't like it. Or if I'm confronted in a quick way, I will rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. They hate that. This is the spiritual warfare that happens, which a lot of people don't even know it exists around them. It's intense.
I thought it was interesting at the very end of the book, because it's really heavy, right? And what we've just discussed. But you said, I'd like to share three essential life lessons I strive to embody each day. First, love yourself. Second, forgive yourself. Lastly, let go. And I thought that was, after all you've been through, I thought that's very simple and very profound at the same time, each one of those.
Yeah, I wrote that in about 2016 through the hardship that I was going through. And, you know, to love yourself, because I was alone. I had nobody to love me. And I felt if I was the only person on the planet, who is going to love me? Me.
Yeah, love yourself.
And then forgive yourself, because we tend to forgive others. But when we make a mistake, we tend to hold on to it. And that's the true cancer that will kill you in the end. So you've got to forgive yourself. And to let it go, I quote it, if you can let go, then you will grow, where you'll always be in the light, where you'll always have sight.
Those three things are so simple, yet at the same time, so important.
If people live their life this way, they would live a better life.
Agreed. I totally agree.
Light workers, and when I say light workers, I'm talking about the real light workers that share these experiences to help other souls to wake up. If you don't wake up in this lifetime, you're definitely coming back to do it again. I was told back in 2000 by a medium that this was my last life. I'm not coming back. And I was like, good, because I don't want to come back here.
This is too intense.
I want to go to a place that's sort of like, kind of like a Bora Bora type style.
Yeah, can I have a break? Well, the book has fallen from the light, and I downloaded it on my Kindle on Amazon, and it was free, at least for right now. Ooh. So if you get Kindle Unlimited, you could do that.
When I put the book together, I didn't think about it. It wasn't about getting rich. It's about sharing something that's important, because I know when I leave this world, the book will still be here.
Yes. And like I said at the beginning of the interview, it just gives you some things to think about. Now, we're not all on your path by any means, but, you know, it gives you things to think about, like your life's purpose and even attachments, like how things can attach to you and come back later. I don't know. I found it really interesting.
So I get a lot of compliments too on the cover, which I came up with the idea around 2014. I met a very talented illustrator, Nick Welsh, and I worked with Nick. And when we first designed it, there was a lot of colors. It was still like me falling back from the light, but it wasn't the colors that it is now in the book. That actually all changed right near the end when the book was ready to go. So you see, you'll come out with things, but it's just a start. And you feel inside that, you know, if it's ready. And I knew the book wasn't the way it should be. And it was like if Gloria came right up to me and said, let's do something like A Christmas Carol, where the spirits visit Ebenezer Scrooge and they take him on this journey. And I'm like, I love it. What a way to put a book out.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a very interesting read. And Sean, you come back anytime. And when that second book comes out, we got to chat again, okay?
Well, as long as I'm still here, sure. That sounds like a plan. If I get pulled away, it's because I'm needed somewhere else. But I could have my people contact you.
Yes, please do. And don't come scaring me in the middle of the night or anything like that.
I would not do that. I always, and what I tell people, like people that are close to me, I'm going to say, listen, I said, you have nothing to worry about. I said, when you take your last breath, you're going to see me at the edge of your bed with Archangel Michael. And I'm going to look at you and say, like, what are you waiting for? Let's go. There's a party happening here. You need to get coming here with me. So I want people to understand death does not exist. It's just a transition. And once people start to open up their soul, their heart, their mind, they're going to start getting closer to the universe. And this is what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me tonight. I really appreciate it.
I loved it. It was great. You know, I hope the audience gets something from this and share it with people that truly need it. And that's what it's about. I was always told, but the Care Bears, sharing is caring. I'm thinking, they got a good point.
Right. And that wraps up our conversation with Sean Barry Farewell about his book, Fallen from the Light. You can get the book on Amazon, and you can choose from the beautiful color edition or the more budget-friendly black and white version. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial-free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts where you can try it for 3 days free or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you so much for listening.